You're listening to Anti-War Radio on Chaos Radio 95.9, 92.7 FM in Austin, Texas, and archived every day at antiwar.com. All right, everybody, big announcement here for all the fans of antiwar.com and the new Anti-War Radio. We're adding another host to the list. He is the great libertarian talk show host out of Phoenix, Arizona, Charles Goyette, and he's joining me on the phone right now. Charles?
Hey, Scott. Good to talk to you again, bud.
It's so great to have you joining us at Anti-War Radio. And for folks who aren't familiar, Charles Goyette hosts the morning show on KFNX AM 1100 in Phoenix, Arizona. He is known as America's most independent talk show host. Well, we'll see about that, pal. And was voted best Phoenix talk show host by the Phoenix New Times in 2003. You may know him from his great article, How to Lose Your Job in Talk Radio, that he wrote for the American Conservative magazine. This is the man who was fired by Clear Channel and then turned around and hired by Air America for his opposition to the Iraq War, which is a great story in and of itself. We might as well just start there, Charles. You're a Goldwater Republican conservative kind of guy. Why would you not go along with the Iraq War like everyone else in 2002 and 2003?
Well, because it was bogus, and all you had to be willing to do to know that it was bogus well before the war got underway was to separate somebody said, Scott, that there are two components to war. There is the actual sensory experience of war, and that is, you know, smelling your buddy's flesh burn and holding friends' crumpled bodies in your hands. And then there's the mythic experience. And the mythic experience is this is the reason they have medals and brass bands and bunting and parades. It's to rouse that kind of an unthinking, mythic, emotional response from people. All one had to do during the lead up to the war was to separate yourself from the mythic, the kind of hysterical war fever that this nation was in, and look at the news behind the news, the stories behind the stories, and find out what the rest of the world was saying. Talk to the people that had the experience overseas. I mean, there was no shortage, as you know, and antiwar.com readers know, of testimony to the facts as we now know them to be, that there was nobody was going to wind up any rubber band driven balsa wood drones and fly them over the Atlantic and threaten the United States. I mean, it was so bogus, but the American people had been captured in this frantic stage of a war mythic euphoria that they weren't willing to do that.
Well, now, Charles, I believe, not I guess that I know for a fact, but I believe that it's the case that there were other AM conservative talk show hosts all across America who knew just as well as you, but who decided instead that they would go along because it was what's best for their career in conservative talk radio. You were willing to risk throwing your career away to take a stand against the war in Iraq?
Well, you know, I have always thought that there are things more important than my puny little career. I'm the son of a philosophy professor, and I was raised and steeped on the Socratic principles of examining the presuppositions to what you do, and that the unexamined life is not worth living. And so, your life is very short, and a radio career is nothing compared to the deaths of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of human beings overseas, people who've died needlessly at our hands on the basis of a bogus and unnecessary war. By the way, Scott, if I could get a word in, I want to talk. I went through a period, you may get to this, but I went through a period that was really pretty dark. I mean, I was besieged on all sides, and I was getting death threats and hate mail and threatened with my job and lost my job and I have two kids, one in college at the time, another one will be soon, and, you know, wondering about my livelihood and my career. And I had friends that were afraid to talk to me in the hallways because they knew I was radioactive, that I was toxic, that I was damaged goods in this big corporate environment of Clear Channel Communications. It was a really dark and ugly period during the time I was being Dixie-chicked. And I don't know how I would have kept going if it weren't for a couple of sources, a couple of places that I turned for sustenance and to buttress the case that I was trying to make to the radio listeners here in Phoenix and around the nation. Chief among them, obviously, was antiwar.com. I literally don't know how I would have gotten through that period without being armed the way that antiwar.com armed me.
Well, that was before my time in participating directly in the website, but I'm certain that Eric and Justin and the rest of the guys at antiwar.com will certainly appreciate that. And anybody who's heard your show knows that you know what you're talking about, and you obviously read antiwar.com, or you couldn't possibly be as well informed as you are.
Indispensable. It's just indispensable. There were a couple of other bright lights. Bill Moyers on Now did a good job. He provided a forum for people that you really don't see. I mean, he had Lou Rockwell on, and he'd have Ron Paul on, and of course the great myth was that, you know, he was this was all leftist, anti-American leftist claptrap. Well, I don't know where else you saw Ron Paul. I don't know where else you saw Lou Rockwell on national TV. He had me on. So that was, but you know, but Bill Moyers' Now program was only on once a week for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. There was Lou Rockwell as well. The Lou Rockwell webpage was a good resource. Harper's Magazine, the editor at Harper's Magazine at the time was doing a great job. Their subscription rate went up. So there were a few other resources, but nothing so stalwart and helpful as antiwar.com.
And you know, it really is important. And in fact, I think this is something that really goes to the core of the importance of talk radio itself. I mean, in your situation, you're the host going through this, and you're thankful for antiwar.com, but I know in my life I've been very thankful for talk radio at times where I feel very alone and besieged, and as though there's not anyone out there who shares my opinion. And it's really great to have people on the radio who can say, hey, pal, don't worry. It's not you. You're right. It's everybody else who's full of it. You're doing okay.
Well, you know, there's a lot of research that talk radio stations and talk radio consultants have done over the years, and it's always revealed something that I think all of us should have known, that people turn to talk radio historically for skepticism about the everyday debate of the mainstream media. They've turned to talk radio. One of the leading things that people have looked to talk radio for over the years is somebody willing to question authority. But that heritage, that talk radio heritage, that kind of DNA that made talk radio great, all fell by the boards during the Bush administration and after 9/11. Nobody in my industry was willing to question authority because they knew what it meant. They knew that it meant end of careers, as I myself discovered.
And it stayed that way really since then, and we're going to fix that with anti-war radio. That's what we're going to do. The cool part of this story, of course, is that Clear Channel, you know, they relegated you to the night spot when everybody's already home, and eventually refused to renew your contract. You turn around and got a job on Air America, Mr. Goldwater Conservative, hosting the morning show on the Air America network in Phoenix.
Yeah, it was the Air America affiliate in Phoenix, and I guess they wanted me on the theory of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But it was a strategic business decision on their part, because they were looking for somebody to add to their lineup that would bring them listeners that they might not otherwise have had. And they were, I will tell you, at first they were a little bit uncomfortable with me because they knew I was no fan of big government, intrusive government growth, government power, centralization of power and authority. They knew I was a libertarian in my outlook, so they were a little skeptical. But I'll tell you, I found maybe for the libertarians, the left or Democratic circles could turn out to be, Scott, the happy hunting grounds. Because during the year and a half or so I spent on the Air America affiliate in Phoenix, I had more interesting discussions. I had more no holds barred search for the truth kind of dialogue than I had for years on the local Clear Channel station that also carried Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. My experience was, it was a very, very good experience. My experience hosting a morning show on the Air America affiliate in the fifth largest city in America was that we had people more willing to confront the truth fearlessly than I have seen in other stations in quite a while.
Okay, now, the Air America affiliate just simply got bought out by another station. That's the radio business. And so you've moved to this KFNX AM 1100 in Phoenix. Tell me about them. Are they not a Clear Channel affiliate?
No, it's a standalone operation, owned a family operation. It's not part of a big corporate conglomerate. And I had come over here before when I was immediately bounced out of Clear Channel. I was looking to have a voice through the election, through the 2004 presidential election, and they made me a slot, and it worked out very well. And then Air America Phoenix came courting, and you know, there are fiscal realities of things. So I went to Air America Phoenix when that station was sold out. These people were willing to make me a generous offer based on what we've been able to do for them before. And so I'm back here on the morning radio show in Phoenix on 50,000 watts in Arizona.
Wow.
Right where I am and right where I belong, and now also able to get some of our show's interesting discussions and interviews heard on antiwar.com radio.
Oh, wow, yeah, 50,000 watts. I'm looking at my hands. I can see them turning green with envy here.
Well, it's a little bit of juice, but, you know, it's a new age. It's the age of the Internet, and I've got as you do, listeners all over the world, all over the globe, and I think that's kind of the template that that people will find on antiwar.com. They'll be able, you know, I did, for example, as you've done, we've both talked many times with Scott Ritter. I did an interview with Scott Ritter, put it up on my website, and I got like 25,000 hits on it in a couple of days from literally all over the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can kind of track the servers that are accessing your stuff, and I found it from foreign governments in the Middle East, foreign governments in Europe, people all over the globe are willing to seek out interviews like that to find out what's really going on in America and what's the story behind the story. So there's a huge market for the kind of thing that you guys are cooking up at antiwar.com now.
Absolutely, and you know, antiwar.com is doing better than ever. We consistently have 100,000 unique visitors a day, depending if there's really big breaking news. Sometimes it goes up quite a bit higher than that. I think the last I heard, 8 million page views a month. So
wow.
When it comes to putting together these kind of interviews, Charles, I think we're going to definitely reach an audience far beyond what we might have even been able to hope. And I just love the way you talk about, you know, going and looking at the web stats. That really is something else in it when you go and you see all the different little flags representing which servers we're logging on.
You know, people are, or select people anyway, are really hungry for information. And you know that the mainstream media has defaulted on it. They booted, they punted, and so they're willing to go seek out, they're willing to expend some effort to find out what's really going on, what is the story behind the story, what is the story behind what they are being spoon-fed by the central authorities, by the permanent governing class. And I'm really happy to be a part of providing them some real nourishment, some intellectual and informational nourishment.
Now, let me ask you a question about your experience there in Phoenix.
Yeah.
You have this gigantic 50,000-watt thing, and on top of that, you have open phone lines.
Right.
So you can talk to the on their way to work in the morning traffic out there. And I guess, you know, I'm so consumed, I just do nothing but read antiwar.com all day, which basically puts me so far outside the pulse of American thought. I really have trouble sometimes figuring out when a tipping point has been reached in terms of public opinion and that kind of thing. So I wonder if you can help me your sense that you get from...
No. I can't help you, Scott, and I'll tell you why.
Huh.
It's because I'm naturally disposed to be optimistic, and I think from time to time, well, the tide has turned, you know, the curtains have been pulled back, the truth has been exposed, the people are beginning to get it, the election maybe is an indicator that the people are getting... But it's my own particular cast of mind, my psychological makeup, to look for the silver lining or the bright light, oh, finally... you know, the truth will prevail eventually. If you live long enough, everything comes out, blah, blah, blah. To this day, I don't know. The forces that were allied against, some of these people are really, really clever. You know how the national debate, when we began to get optimistic, the national debate in November was all about ending the war, bringing the troops home. Ending the war, bringing the troops home. Okay, it seemed like a mandate when the Democrats swept the House and the Senate. It seemed like a mandate to end the war, bring the troops home. But 2 months later, 3 months later, the entire national debate is not about ending the war, bringing the troops home. It's about whether to surge or not surge another 20,000 troops.
Yeah.
So, we constantly have victories that we think are going to be lasting, and because the people in the Washington Party that we think are our champions are really power seekers and nothing more. They're not driven by principle so much as by perpetuating their own hold on power. We think we've got victory within our grasp, and it's snatched away from us.
Well,
so I don't know. I don't know whether the tide is turning. I sometimes think it is. I don't know. Until I see half a dozen of these guys frog marched out of the White House, I won't believe we've really won.
Now, do your callers believe that Iran is in the process of making nuclear weapons?
I do think people are starting to get the idea that when the president, I mean, it was so telling the other night when the president cited Iran five or six times. I went back and looked, at earlier State of the Union addresses, when it was an Iraq this, an Iraq that, an Iraq the other. And he just lifted the same old speech that he'd used in 2002 and took out the Q and put in the N.
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, at some point it starts to become really, really transparent. So,
well, I have a theory that
good.
People hate being lied to so much that they just can't believe that someone would lie to them about the exact same thing again when they're talking about the country next door.
Well, maybe I could put it this way. Fool me once, shame on, won't get fooled again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you forgot, you left out the 7-second pause there.
Yeah,
the,
I know.
The deer in the headlights stare. Maybe I can edit that in later, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'd fit in.
Yeah, so, man, I'm so looking forward to writing your coattails and bringing your archives to Anti-War Radio, Charles. This is going
to
be
great.
You don't
have to write anybody's coattails. You've created something really important, Scott, and we've been telephone buddies for a long time, and I'm really looking forward to being a part of what you've started rolling here.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate it. Everybody, look forward to in the anti-war radio category on the blog. Hopefully, very soon, you will find a link where you can listen to Charles Goyette's show live every morning. That's 6 to 9 a.m. Mountain Time. And we'll also be podcasting all of his best interviews at anti-war radio there at or here, I guess I could say, at antiwar.com. Thanks so much for your time, Charles.
Scott, good to talk to you. It's good to be part of the family.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been Anti-War Radio for January 25th, 2007. Thanks very much for listening. We're here Monday through Friday from noon to 1 on Radio Chaos 92.7, 95.9 here in Austin, Texas. And all the archives are saved at antiwar.com.